Pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. I think it's morning. I've been kind of in the crucible all night long. You know what that means, right? I was wrestling with somebody last night. I don't know who it was. I was up about 2:30 before I could. I finally cried uncle at 2:30 and got up, only because I was tired of wrestling, not with flesh and blood. And I believe it was the Holy Spirit, because as I was laying there last night trying to say, I was praying to sleep, and I said, Lord, if you want to show me something, and you're the one that's waking me up, let me know that. And I'm telling you, it wasn't 30 seconds. I knew the Lord wasn't letting me sleep. It wasn't the devil. It wasn't some demon. The Lord wasn't letting me sleep, because he has me in a crucible of something that I've been walking through, pondering, walking through. Listen, we're all walking through stuff, aren't we? All of us. And I want to make sure I get off on the right way here this morning. Michelle and I got a chance to, we ran up yesterday and got a chance to see Bob and Tammy Evans, and Tammy broke her leg, of course, and 8 weeks she's going to be in the cast. And Bob's like, he's the nurse, and I said, man, that tests your marriage, won't it? But Tammy's doing well. She goes back today to get some more stitches out, and she's on her way. But man, she's got a big recovery in front of her. So pray for Bob and Tammy. It's good to see them. What good people they are, man. And we're all walking through stuff, right? Rob Pugh's father-in-law passed away. I think it's 3:30, 3:55, something like that, this morning. And many of you know, maybe you don't know, that Rob's been pretty much keeping a vigil by his father-in-law's bed over the last, probably been almost a week, I think, maybe even longer. I don't know how long, Rob, and I don't mean to misstate it. It's been a while. And Bob, his father-in-law, Bob, passed away last night about 3:55, so. Our thoughts and prayers go out there. Death's a crazy thing, and death is a crazy thing. And those of us who, claim Christ, death has no sting. Shouldn't. We're going to miss him, right? Going to miss his father-in-law. But death's part of life, and we shouldn't be afraid of it. And I pray that Bob went peacefully last night. And I'm going to do a show on this, because I'd like to get an expert, somebody really tell me what happens to you when you die. That would they've told us a lot, right? Oh, he's with Jesus now. Well, I hope. What happens when you die? The purgatory, great white throne, judge. What is it? That's another one. I'm not going to get into it today, but that's another one I'd sure like to be able to get into. I want to acknowledge Rob's father-in-law and Rob and his family. I want to give a real quick shout out to Paulie Heath, who's been doing yeoman-like job. Folks, listen to this. We have right now over 100 people signed up to go to Washington, D.C. 100 people. It's unbelievable. Does my heart good. But I couldn't do it without Polly. Polly has been, she's been doing all the spreadsheets and doing all that stuff for me and ordering more. We have 50 rooms at a hotel. 50 rooms. We do. 50. We have that many people that are coming. And it blesses my heart, but it's also a great headache, because now we got to try to keep all these people together and move them as a group. And, so we're strategically working on that. And I just want to publicly say that Polly puts up with me being snorty and snotty and short with her at times like that. But she's done. She really has it organized. Now, listen, we're going to close this thing out. We're going to close it out real soon. Probably. What is today? We're going to close it out at least by Friday. You don't sign up by Friday, you can still go, but you're on your own, all right? Because we got to get vehicles and hotel rooms, and we got a lot going on. 100 people. It just blessed my heart. Just blessed my heart. And thanks to all of you that are gone. Thanks to all of you who have supported us. Guys are sending are contributing money. Appreciate that more than you know. And couldn't do it without you guys. So thanks for all of you. Several of you have actually sponsored people. And again, $65, we appreciate that. Hotel room, travel, yada, yada, yada. One other thing before I move on. Jeff Nell, we all know Jeff. Jeff and Fallon, right? Folks, Jeff from Fallon, I spoke with Jeff last night, so I got the approval from Jeff to make you all aware of this. Jeff's really gone through some stuff, man. He's just really gone through some stuff. And he told me he needs to, he says, Coach, I just need to pull away a little bit. Not because he wants to pull away, but he needs to pull away because he's just gone through a lot, okay? Just gone through it. So those of you who have the ability to reach out and touch Jeff, I think he would appreciate it. He said he's going to maybe pull back for a month and, doesn't want to. I said, we want to lose you. We don't want you to get lost in the, you know, in the waves or anything. So, Jeff Nell, let's keep him in prayer. You know, I know some things that I'm not at liberty to share, and I'm not trying to hold a secret or make it more dramatic than I am. But Jeff, you know, Jeff has some physical issues, and he has some issues from his time in the service. So he's dealing with a lot, man. And let's just lift up, keep our brother Jeff lifted up in prayer there. All right, cool. Hey, if you're gonna go to DC, please sign up. Please go do that. Sign up. I think I'm done with the intro. Lord's really got something to spill out on me today, so bear with me. I'm going to open it up. Anybody have anything? Well, let me come see if I can find everybody holding their hand up. Somebody have anything they want to say here before we get rolling? Luann has her hand up. And John Diamond. Go ahead, Luann.
Yeah, there was just something that came across my thing. It ain't got nothing to do with what you're going to say today. But we have been attacked as far as heating goes. I shared it with Myra, so. Just get yourself some space heaters or some oil heaters in case our heat goes off. It's winter. People could freeze to death.
Yep. Good preparation. Okay. Yep. Yep. Good one, Lauren.
Yes, Colorado's already been hit.
Okay.
Let you know.
Rolling blackouts.
All right.
Maybe.
God bless you.
Okay. John, yeah. Come on, doctor. Did you want to come in, John, or did, I'm sorry.
Hey, brother, I've been corresponding with Clay Parker there, and I'm going to be sending a whole bunch.
No, can you hear me? He broke up a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to send Clay Parker a whole bunch. Okay, yeah, I'm going to be sending Clay Parker a whole bunch of the Appeal to Heaven prayer cards.
Good, good.
That has the Appeal to Heaven logo on the front side and then has the imprecatory prayer on the back. I also want to order a bunch of Appeal to Heaven flags. So if you can get a number of flags, and I'll send them out to you guys for free. You know, I can order 50 of these things if you need me to. But I'd like to send them out, give them as presents to everybody in your queue of if you already don't have one, and just to see, you know, to see 50 of those things flying. In DC would be a massive, massive testimony. So I want to make that available to you if anybody's interested.
You send them to us and you send us the bill, John. We don't want you to, you know, we'll be glad to pay for them. So you send those to us so that we can get them handed out in DC. Appreciate that. Appreciate that offer, but we don't want you to pay for it. Myra, come on in.
Yes. Good morning, Coach. Good morning, my brothers and sisters.
All right, bro.
I don't know if it's possible, at least for me, to have the address for Miss Evans, so I can send her a card. And I received your beautiful Christmas card, Coach. Mm. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Bless you, dear. Bless you. What did you want before that address for whom, Myra? I missed that. I'm sorry.
Mrs. Evans, the one who had
Tammy Evans. Tammy Evans. Michelle, remember that we want to send her Myra Tammy's. We'll get it to you. We'll get it to you.
Thank you, Coach. God bless you.
You know, something, one of the things, one of the things the Lord's really impressing upon me is after my conversation with Tammy and Bob yesterday, and then talking to Jeff on Nell on the phone yesterday, and some of the emails I'm getting, I'm beginning to realize more and more this really is a fellowship. As much as I fight it, man, it really is. And I know many of you out there are now beginning to realize that the people in this queue, there's 76 of us in here in the queue, and who knows how many are listening. are slowly and rapidly becoming our, really becoming our brothers and sisters. And I want to acknowledge that and acknowledge that I know that, that that's going on. And you, you guys know this, and more than anything, last thing I want to be is a church. It's the last thing. Holy crap, it's the last thing I want to be. But I think that we are really developing the role of the assembly, the ecclesia. I think we really are. And I just want to acknowledge that and know that we really do need to bear one another's burdens and share and everything that's going on in one another's lives. And so I don't come on publicly and tell you stuff about Jeff now without his approval or Tammy without her approval. But I think we're family. I think I really feel that. And I'm overwhelmed that 100 people, 100 would come and join little me, 100 people. And it's going to be more than that. It's going to be more than that. We have 100 signed up already. It's going to be more than that. So I'm honored. I want to start off. I've been in the crucible. I've been wrestling with the Lord, or he's been wrestling with me all night. And I want to take us down a little bit of a journey here that I think is going to be a blessing to all of you. And again, when this show's over, every day when this show's over, I hope you're thinking. When it's over, I hope you think about all day what you heard, what we discussed all day. Scripture says to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I do. Every day when the show's over, it's on me all day long. Can't get off of me. I think it's a good thing. It's motivating me. It's directing me. It's just doing a lot. And I want you to know that I'm honored to do it, but the responsibility of it's heavy, man. It's a heavy. And trust but verify in everything that's going on. I got a little video up here. Serge sent me this. God bless old buddy Serge. Hey, I didn't tell you this, Spencer. Put it at double time. I think we can hear this at double time. And when Serge sent me this and I listened to it, I got the same reaction Serge got. I said, oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Because, this is Derek Prince. Derek Prince is an old-time preacher. And he's going to tell us here, wants to talk about repentance. So if you can get it up to the 2x speed for me there, Spencer, and then just go ahead and let it play. This thing is normally about 12 minutes, so it'll be about 6.
Now, it's very important that we understand what repentance is. Repentance is not an emotion. I've seen many times preachers will seek to work people up into an emotional attitude and then call them to faith in Christ. And very, very often that leads to a letdown because the emotion runs out and they're left with nothing. So bear in mind, repentance, as defined in the Bible, is not an emotion. It is a decision. It doesn't spring from the emotions. It springs from the will. If we can reach people's will and turn their will, we will see permanent conversions. Many of the so-called conversions in the church today are impermanent because they have never really changed the will of the person. They've had an emotional experience. They got excited. Maybe they felt wonderful for a few weeks or months or even years. But in the end, they don't have what it takes to go through because their will has not been touched. Now, you know, there are two main languages of the Bible, Greek of the New Testament and Hebrew of the Old. And each of those languages has a specific word for repent. But only if we put the two languages together do we get the full meaning of repentance. The Greek word in secular language is always translated to change your mind, to change the way you think. So first of all, repentance is changing your mind about the way you've been living. I've been living to please myself, to do my own thing. From now on, I'm going to live to please Jesus, my Savior. It's a decision. As I said before, it is not an emotion. You can repent without any obvious emotion, but you cannot repent without a change of your will. And then the Hebrew word, and this is so typical of the Jewish people because they're very down-to-earth people. They want to know, well, what does it work out at? And the Hebrew word for repent means literally to turn around. You've been facing one way, the wrong way, with your back to God. You turn 180 degrees, face toward God, and say, God, here I am. Tell me what to do, and I'll do it. So you put the two together, and you have a complete picture of repentance. And faith comes only after repentance. The whole message of the Bible is in this order, repent and believe. There are lots of people, and some of them are here this morning, who are struggling for faith. The truth is, you're not struggling for faith. You've never met the condition of repentance. You see, it's the first of the 6 foundation doctrines. And if you don't have that foundation stone in place, your building will always be wobbly. I have counseled over the years hundreds of people, hundreds of Christians, who've come with their personal problems. And after a lot of experience, I came to this conclusion. At least 50% of the problems of professing Christians, or real Christians, are due to one fact. They have never truly repented. They have never really changed their mind. They've never really made a decision. They've never really surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus in their lives. They're still thinking about decisions from this point of view. Now, if I do this, what will it do for me? And if I do that, what will it do for me? When you repented, that's not the way you think. You think, if I do this, will it glorify Jesus? If I do that, will it glorify Jesus? And so we have multitudes of people, I think especially young people, but not only young people, who are double-minded. And the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He doesn't have a solid foundation. He can't produce a stable building. So I invite you, just where you are right now, quietly to reflect for a few moments and ask yourself, have I ever really, truly repented? Or am I still double-minded? On Monday, my aim is to please Jesus. On Tuesday, my aim is to please myself. You see, you've got the worst of both worlds, actually. You'd be better off just living in the world, living for yourself. Because you're a double-minded person, you're a split personality. Now we have to go on with the nature of repentance. There is one parable that Jesus told, which is the most vivid and perfect illustration of true repentance. It's the parable of what we call the prodigal son. Though somebody else has said it should be called the caring father. You remember the story in Luke 15? Most of you know it. The second son of a wealthy family decided to get all his inheritance from his father right now and went off to a distant country and lived it up. He did all sorts of sinful things. And then, when he'd spent his whole inheritance, a famine came. And the only job he could get was feeding pigs. And you have to remember he was Jewish. So for him to feed pigs was just as low as he could come. Without any slight on pig farmers. We're not saying anything against them, but it just so happens that for the Jewish people, the pig is right outside. And so here he is, in rags, feeding the pigs, hungry, wishing he could fill his stomach with the husks that the pigs are eating. And then this is what happens. Verse 17 of Luke 15. When he came to himself, he said, well, that's the point you have to come to. You have to come to yourself. What I call the moment of truth. You have to see yourself as you really are. You have to see yourself as God sees you. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired servants. Now you see the two elements? Because it goes on to say, and he arose and came to his father. He made a decision, and he turned around. That's repentance. Making a decision and carrying your decision out. Going back to the father whom you have offended, to the God who loves you, saying, I made a mess of my life. I can't run my own life. I need you. Will you take me back? The wonderful thing is he planned to say to the father, make me as one of your hired servants. But when he started out, his father was watching for him. I think this is so beautiful. That's how God is. When we begin to turn, he's watching for us and waiting for us. And the father saw him a long way off and ran to meet him. That's how God is. That's how he meets us. And he kissed him. And he never let him say those last words, make me as one of your hired servants. He said, bring out the best robe, put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and kill the fatted calf. That's the result of true repentance. It's worth repenting to be welcomed like that by God. That's the picture. Just think about it for a moment yourself. He came to himself. He said, I made a mess of my life. I've wasted everything my father gave me. But I'm going to make a decision. I'm going to turn around. I'm going to go back to my father and say, I'm sorry. And he turned and went. Think about that. That is true repentance. Repentance in action. Now, there can be a false repentance, which we in English today call remorse. Judas experienced that, described in Matthew 27. Verse 3 and following. Then Judas, the betrayer of Jesus, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? You see to it. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Judas had remorse, but he never changed. In fact, I believe he passed the point where he could change. And to me, this is a solemn thought. People can, in this life, pass the point where it's possible for them to change. I think the most significant moment in any human life is the moment when God begins to deal with you about repenting. And if you shrug your shoulders and say, well, I'm not interested, maybe later, there's no guarantee that God will ever deal with you again. The most critical moment in any human life is the moment when God says, repent. I'm willing to take you back. I love you. I want you. I've considered what I've seen in people's lives and in the Bible. And I've come to the conclusion that there's one thing that makes God really angry, and it is despising his grace. He freely offers us his grace, but if we despise it, he turns in anger.
Remorse, but not repentance. I'm sorry I played that so fast. You can go ahead and stick that down in the chat so you guys can listen to that later. One of the things that really struck out is repentance. Repentance leads to a decision. And you know, we were talking the other day about the whole abortion thing. We can repent of abortion, but if we don't make a decision to end it, it's vain remorse. It's all it is. It's just remorse. Lord, I'm sorry we let this happen. Well, I'm so sorry, Lord. Please forgive us. And he said, yeah, I will. How about stopping it for me? We stop it? So repentance is different than remorse because you come to a point where you in your own heart have to make a decision about you. About you, not about God. The decision's about you and what you're going to do and are you going to follow. It's like losing weight, right? I put on a few LBs this holiday season, as probably most of you have. And you know what? I know how to get rid of it. I can't repent of gaining weight. I can. But you know what I got to do? I got to quit eating. I'm going to have to go through a period of time now where I discipline myself and quit eating. It's a decision. I repent, Larry, from dead works, right? Isn't that what it says in Hebrews? Repentance from dead works. You can't just say, I'm sorry. You have to say, I'm sorry. I'm not doing it anymore. That's repentance.
Amen, Coach. And you notice he said from the six stones of the foundation.
I heard that right away.
Repentance was the first one. That's Hebrews 1 and 2. I mean, Hebrews 6, 1 and 2. He gets it.
So I'm heading somewhere here, okay? Because, again, I've been wrestling. I've been in the crucible all night long. And I couldn't find out about, couldn't figure out what it was. And all of a sudden it just, you know, sometimes you just got to say, hey, Lord, what is it? And he'll tell you. Pull up on the screen, number one, he who the Son sets free. Pull that up for me. I want to ask you something. Ask me. This is the argument I had last night, the discussion I had with the Lord last night. Am I free? Or better yet, Lord, why am I not? What's holding me back, Lord? What's holding me back? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is John 18, I'm beginning in verse 14. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true, for I know whence I came and where I'm gone. Jesus said, I know where I was, I know where I'm gone, but you cannot tell me whence I came and whether I go. You have no idea what I've been through, the Lord says. You judge after the flesh, I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment's true, for I'm not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that beareth witness of myself, and the Father sent me, beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, well, where is the Father? Jesus answered, you neither know me nor the Father. If you had known me, you would have known the Father. These words spake Jesus in the treasury. This is what hit me. These words Jesus spake in the treasury. Why? As he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour is not yet come. Then Jesus said again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and you shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. The Jews said, will he kill himself? Because he said, whether I go, I cannot come. And he said unto them, no, dudes, listen, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I'm not of this world. I say therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Then they said unto him, well, what about you? And Jesus said unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. Stay with me. They didn't understand him. Then Jesus said unto them, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but the Father hath taught me, and I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone, for I do those things that please him. He spake these words, and many believed on him. And then said Jesus unto those Jews who didn't believe him, to continue in my word, hey, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciple. You just can't walk an aisle, say a prayer, and say you're my disciple. No, it says if you continue my word, you're my disciple indeed. And watch this. You shall know the truth. And the truth, if you know it, shall make you free. The answer is, well, dude, we're Abraham's seed. We were never in bondage. Man, why the heck would you say that? Ye shall be made free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let me ask you something, Ohio Brett. What's holding you back? Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. Hey, Mike Blake and Randy and Joe, I'm just looking at the faces, and Jeff Klein, if you think you're free, you're fooling yourself, buddy. You're fooling yourself. And we all say we're free. Whom the Son set free is free indeed. But what is the thing that you're most in bondage about in your life? What is it? What is it? What is the one thing that you are in bondage about and don't even recognize you are? You don't have to answer. Go ahead. I'm going to tell you what it is here in a minute. You're in bondage to fear. We're in bondage to fear. And because we're in bondage to fear, we're not free. We just think we are. And so I'm wrestling with the Lord last night, he said unto me, he said, Coach, I think he said that. Do me a favor, Coach. He said, go to Ephesians 5. Click on that. Click on Ephesians 5. Spencer. Ephesians 5. Be ye their followers of Christ as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given us himself for an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling smell. But for fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be even once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, and no whoremonger or unclean person or covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things come the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for you were sometimes in the darkness, but not anymore. You're not in the darkness anymore. Now you're in the light of the Lord, and you walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit is all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And here comes the punch in the face. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Have nothing to do with it. But rather reprove it. This is where my foot's caught in the trap. And I've struggled with it for a while, and I'm just gonna lay it out there. And I got a lot of stuff going down. Hey, go to Webster's real quick. It's the next one there, Spencer. Go to Webster's, because there's a word in there that bothered me. It said having nothing to do with the unfruitful.
Unfruitful. Hey, Dave.
Unfruitful works of darkness. Yes, Rod.
How do you tie? I like that verse. I believe in that verse. We're to stay away from those that are. But how in the world do you tie that in or mix it in with some of the other areas of the Bible? And one is the concept that God is love. And I don't mean that in that weird way, but that scripture is telling us to stay away from those that are doing evil things.
So it's have nothing to do with them, right?
Yeah, but yet we have been pounded for years of, well, you got to be near these people. You'll never lead them to Christ if you're not around them and loving them and telling them. How do you mix those two in?
Well, because why? If we go back to that, I don't know if we can go back to that, Spencer.
I mean,
it does have nothing to do with them, but rather reprove them. Reprove them.
Okay, I like that. I like that.
And there's one more note. There's one more note that we're supposed to pick off the stragglers around the edge of the pack. Isn't there a verse like that, Coach? Where we're supposed to not go into the middle of it.
Yes.
But Roger, there's people on the fringes that we can't engage with. Now that's on the fringes of the places they are. That's on the fringes of the kind of like on the edge of the strip joint. Mm-hmm. You're catching them in going in. Those are on the fringes.
Yeah. Right.
You got to be careful going in though. But think about it. Yeah.
Hey, Roger.
Hold on a second, real quick. Think about a military mission. Sometimes you got to go in, but the scouts are specially equipped. They have knowledge. They have intelligence. They got lots of planning. So a lot of people crash into these evil places without any of that prep and planning, and they get consumed. So you got a good, valid point on how to defeat the enemy. I love the question.
Hey, Roger.
Well, I think.
For instance,
I think of the homosexual, okay? Nothing more evil doing than the homosexual act, the whole concept. The vast majority of the Christian churches will tell you now, if they don't say accept it, they would say, well, we got to let them in and sit in the pews so that they can hear the gospel message. When clearly, and I've never been one to pick, we can't live on one verse at a time. We've got to look at the totality of God's
word.
But it really tells us we really should be doing nothing with them.
That's right.
You can't get away from that language.
Revelation 21:8, right? Huh? Revelation 28. The cowards go first. The fearful and the unbelieving, they go before the homos do. Revelation 21:8. I'm heading somewhere this morning.
Hey, Rod.
So if you had a distributed church without walls, how do you, quote, let someone in the church? It's vetting through people. But mm-hmm. once you get a building, now you got a physical perimeter that you got to be concerned of. So what they do is they let people in, and when they shouldn't. That's a mistake that happened there.
Hey, Roger. Roger, another thing that's happening in the situation you're asking about is the same satanic social club leaders that are telling you that you have to be out there in order for to have an influence on the world and to save people, they neglect to tell you that you can't save anybody no matter how hard you try. It's only the Holy Spirit that might use you to work through you to save somebody, but it ain't you in the first place. So they're telling you that lie to begin with, and they tell you another lie to make friends so that people will listen to you. But the word says if you want to be friends with the world, you make yourself the enemy of God.
Okay, listen, I want to get everybody in here, but I got to get this out. Come on in quickly. Come on in, Pastor Dale, then Randy. Or whoever. Randy, come on.
I'm sorry, brother. I was typing in the messages, brother, just the things that you're talking about. You know, just we overlook these things. We use words. I constantly, you know, when God slams you with something, it's so vitally important. He's trying to show us something. When we use God sets us free, that is such a misquoted scripture, because you've got to get the revelation is that he makes us free. And that's what we're typing about in that question. The thing is that when you set your dog free, when you set him off the chain, guess what? The dog is still the dog. He'll still act like a dog and he'll still be a dog. But when God makes you free, he makes you a new creation in Christ. The old things, old sins, old ways, old heart desires pass away, and behold, all things become new. Now, the repentance part is this. It is godly sorrow that brings a man to repentance. Let's be truthful. 99% of most people don't want to repent until they're caught in their sin. That's just the fact of the matter.
That's remorse.
We realize that we have broken God's heart. And I always say, it's like driving down the highway, you're speeding, you get pulled over by the policeman. The first thing you say, oh, I'm sorry. No, you're only sorry because you got caught.
Remorse.
But godly sorrow will cause you to find a police officer and say, hey, I want to let you know I was speeding back there and I'm at your mercy.
Okay, Dale, I'm going to pull you off stage. Go, Randy.
Coach, I think the key there, it says it has have no fellowship with them. I'm a good neighbor. I love my neighbor as myself. I try to live that, Coach. But I don't fellowship with their darkness, with people's sin. I expose them because I don't fellowship with them. That is what exposes darkness. If I go be amongst people that are drunks and I speak to them and I say, you know, I have no use for that. I don't need it, you know, but I can be a witness to them by not being fellowshipping with them. But I can, so that's the key, the fellowship.
I like that.
Rachel, come in, then Jeff. You're muted, Rachel. You're still muted.
Thanks, Coach.
There you go.
I wanted to point out the words here. It says to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Yeah.
It does not say not to have fellowship with the people who produce unfruitful works of darkness.
That's right.
It's imperative that we reach these people. Yes. I've had unfruitful works of darkness.
Amen. Me too.
And without others' fellowship, I would still be there.
Amen.
So it's the works that he's talking about.
The unfruitful works, right? The unfruitful works. Come on in, Jeff.
Doesn't it say a couple verses back, be not partakers?
Yes, right. So hang on with me. Let me get where I'm going here, okay? Because I'm going to go someplace you're not expecting me to go. Because here's the wrestling match. Here's the wrestling match I've been having. I'm looking at my notes. Unfruitful. I ask you to throw that up if you could do that real quick. What's unfruitful mean? I'm sorry. That's a good one too. We're going to use that one. Unfruitful. What is unfruitful? Not producing fruit, barren, not producing offspring, not prolific, barren, not producing good effects or works, good effects or worse, unproductive, not fertile, unfruitful works of darkness, unfruitful, have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. But as Rachel just said, not the person, but don't take part in it, don't gather in with them, certainly don't reject them and say, I can't talk to you because you drink beer or whatever it might be, but try to try to draw them into the truth, right? So there's a difference between something that's fruitful. Put that in there real quick. What's something that's fruitful? Spencer, I keep wanting to call you Sheldon. So if I call you Sheldon, that's your new name. What's fruitful? Something that's very productive, producing abundance of fruit, prolific, bearing children, multiply, plenteous, abounding in anything, productive in anything, fertile. See, unfruitful isn't fertile, right? It's not, it's death. Unfruitful things are death. Fruitful things are life. See, everything produces fruit. Is it unfruitful, good fruit, or bad fruit? That's what we're dealing with, right? So here, listen, bear with me. I got to get there. Go to tyranny real quick. Throw that up there real quick. He's all, Lord is beating up on me this morning. Last night, this morning, whatever it was. It's on me. I'm not beating up on you. What's tyranny? Arbitrary or despotic exercise of power. The exercise of power over subjects and others with a rigor not authorized by law or justice, or not requisite for the purposes of government. Hence, tyranny is often synonymous with cruelty and oppression. Here's what the Lord said to me last night. He didn't say coach, although I always put coach in front of it like he did. He said, coach, the problem in the church is the church's obedience not to me, it's to government. Their fealty, their loyalty is to government. It's not to me. And I sat back and thought, oh my goodness, my goodness. He said, the Lord told us that he'd have no other gods before him. None. Bible says that the double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. You cannot serve, the Bible says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon means money, but it means men. You cannot serve God and men. You cannot do both. And the church is serving government, saying they're serving God. And they're not, folks. They are not. We're not doing it. We are serving government. Not God. Buddy, hey, that's a bigger mic drop than you understand. So here's where it gets personal with me, all right? It's where it gets personal with me. I've struggled mightily over, I don't know how many years, over our 501c3 here at Pass the Salt Ministries. When I started Pass the Salt Ministries back in 2003, I went to other guys who'd started ministry, say, how do you start a ministry? And they said, well, here's how you do it. And they gave you the steps. Anybody know what the first step is? Anybody know what the first step is to start a ministry? Anybody know? Huh? Anybody know?
It depends if you're following, the plans.
Don't do that, Dale. Don't do that to me, Dale. What's the first step? They all tell
you.
They
tell you, go
501c3 approval from the government, right? Got to be approved by the government to start a church. Oh, yeah? Then you're telling me if I go get the government's approval to start a church, the call of God on my life, the call of God on my life is subservient to the approval of the government. Yes or no? Somebody say I'm wrong?
You're absolutely 100% right.
I'm all over it. I'm all over it, see? And why do I have a 501c3? I have a 501c3 so that those of you who support our ministry can get a tax write-off. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Right?
Isn't that what we tell them when you give them money? Hey, look, give us money. We give you a tax write-off.
Amen. Poison fruit. We're producing poisoned fruit, adulterous fruit. And I've struggled. See, it's January. It's going to be January, and here's what I'm saying to all of you. We just filed our latest 990. I don't know if you guys know this. You can go on the internet and find Pass the Salt Ministries, and you can see our 990 that we have to file with the government, where our money went, and all that. 990. Can somebody tell me something? Why do I, the church, have to report to the government? Do they send me a 990? If we're in a corporate partnership here, why is it a one-way corporation? Why is it I have to report to them and tell them what God is doing through me? I have to tell the government and get the government's approval. Hey, it's an adulterous relationship.
Because they don't send me
their records.
Because the government.
In fact, they're spending my money, God's money, And they don't even have it. And they're spending it on stuff that I don't approve of, but I got to be a good little shepherd because why? I have to obey.
Because they told you so.
Well, who told me so?
Exactly. Isn't that what the parents say when the kid goes, why, mom, or why, dad? Because the parent goes, because I told you so. That's hogwash. We should always have a reasoning. I'm not going to get in. You're right, coach, but I know. I learned when I joined in the ministry, I'm not going to take up your time because you were over the target. I didn't go that route because I followed the commandments of the Lord and his obedience.
Okay, stop stealing my time. So for me, I've been wanting to shrug this thing off. I want to shrug it off. You know what I learned today, Randy? You know what I learned today? I just got to make a decision. That's all. I just got to make a decision. Say, listen, sorry, I ain't under that 501c3 anymore. Sorry, I ain't doing that. Huh? I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, called and protected by the First Amendment of the Constitution, which says Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And as soon as I think I need government approval to start a church, or how about this? Church money is tax immune. It's not exempt. It's immune. You can get a tax write-off to a church because it's immune. But the stupid people tell us we have to go get an exemption. Hey, shut up a minute. I'm on this thing. I got to finish this thing off here. Bring up for me there, Spencer. Exempt. I went to Webster. I said, what is exempt? Well, we're tax exempt. What does that
excluded.
Mean?
Excluded.
It means I'm excluded.
Excluded.
The government gave me the permission to be tax exempt. They gave me the permission to do it. Like taking a vaccine. You want to be exempted? You want to be exempted from the virus? Here, take a vaccine. We'll make you exempt so that you don't get it. No. Folks, I'm immune. I'm immune. The church is immune. I can't get it. They can't take money. They can't. They have no business. Anything that goes on in the church, the government has no business. Why? Because the church is above the state. And when we are living in an adulterous relationship, we are bowing our knee in fear to a king called government. The church is. I am.
Amen.
I am. Now listen, there's consequences, right? Because soon the black limo is going to pull up. And they're going to say, well, you didn't file your 990. So you didn't file yours with me. If this is a partnership here, you're running around spending all my money. And the only reason that I'm doing this is because the tyranny of you telling me I have to. I don't have to. It's been laying in my gut for 18 months. You know what Derek Prince told me? He didn't tell me. He said, you just got to make a decision. You just got to make a decision and let the chips fall where they may. And if government gets mad about where past assault spending their money, well, sorry, none of your business. None of your business. Well, so you guys are watching, say, well, coach, how do we know where you're spending your money? Well, I thought you gave it to me to spend. I thought that's why you gave it to me. And now that you gave it to me freely, you want to be peeking over my shoulder to see how much I'm making? What's coach doing with all that money? Hey, you got a heart problem, not me. I thought you gave it to me.
Coach, there's another.
Hang on a minute. So I say, coach, yeah, we did give it to you, coach. We want the government to watch over you, though. We want them to watch over you there, coach. We really love you, coach. We really, really trust you. But we're going to have the government watch over you. And do us a favor, coach. Do me a favor. Hey, fill out forms every year and let us know where every penny went. And do me another favor. Save every receipt. Randy's never asked for a receipt. Mike Blake's never asked me for a receipt. Why the hell is the government asking me for a receipt? Or better yet, why am I giving them one? Because I'm serving the wrong master, see? And you know why I'm serving the wrong master? I'm serving the wrong master out of fear. Don't you see it? It's no different than wearing a mask. I don't put a mask on because I don't want to get sick. And I go 501c3 because I don't want to get in trouble. You can go back. You can go on online and check out our 990s for every year back to 2004. They're all online. You can see how we spend our money. You can see it all. And you can go back and see that from the time we started Past Salt Ministry to this day, I've taken $3,000 a month for the last 15 years to do what we do here. But I'm going to tell you something. It ain't none of your business. And it sure as hell isn't any of the government's business. Right?
Amen.
Why? Because Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting me the free exercise of my faith. And don't you see? Mm-hmm. We're serving the wrong master.
Hey, Coach.
I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. What are you saying? I'm saying, listen, I ain't going 501c3. I'm not doing it.
Amen.
We're going to be a fellowship. We're going to be a fellowship. And if you give them money, you get a write-off. But I ain't 501c3. I ain't doing it anymore. Why? Because Derek Prince told me through Surge. Thank you, Surge. I just had to make a decision. And I just made it. And if the black limos pull up, I'm going to go down an honorable man, obedient to my Savior. That's right. If the Lord puts me in prison ministry, he puts me in prison ministry. I don't care. You guys feeling me? Do you understand how scaredy cat your pastors are? Do we understand? And who are we? God's not giving us a spirit of fear. In fact, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But we've been lying to ourselves because we're afraid of the government. Okay, I'll say
now your ministry will grow, Coach.
I don't care if it grows. The ministry's already grown. It isn't even about that. It's about honor and fealty and loyalty and honoring my King. It's not about building my ministry and growing here. It ain't about any of that. Well, I'll tell you this, getting rid of your 501c3, that's harder than a divorce. He can't hardly get rid of it.
Hey, Coach?
Yeah, it's an abusive spouse.
Coming from a ministerial point of view, give me a call later. I'll talk to you about some of the things you can do because I never went 501c3. But there's another aspect that we don't talk about, that this is part of loving manna more than we love God. Underneath without a 501c3, which is my church, we're not a 501c3, I cannot get any kind of subsidies. In other words, if there is a natural disaster and I need to get food from Second Food Bank Harvest to pass out to people, do you realize Second Food Harvest will not give me food because I don't have a 501c3? So I cannot get. So part of this is like what Joel Osteen is. He then gets money from what? From the sugar daddy government. The only way you can do that is the only way you can do that is through a 501c3. So it's not just about what you have just said, but the other side of it that many of these pastors they don't want to talk about because they don't want to reveal their hands is that they're getting kickbacks from the government. And that you need a 501c3.
Okay, so listen to this. Here's what the Lord said to me last night. I'm sorry. I don't care if you agree with it or not. Here's what the Lord said to me. He said, Coach, although he probably didn't say that. He says, Coach, you're past the salt. You are. Not some organization. Not some corporation. You're past the salt. You are. That's that First Amendment, isn't it? Free exercise of my faith. I'm past the salt. Randy isn't. Mike Blake isn't. Mike Heath isn't. He's not past the salt. We're all part of it. But I'm that. Because why? I was the one giving the call. As soon as I got the call to do it, I had to run to the government and get their approval to do it. Somebody say amen. Know what I'm talking about? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is messy, isn't it? This is messy. And I'm just confessing. I'm just confessing to all of you here. As of 2021, I'm moving away from that beast. I don't know how to get rid of it, but I'm moving away from it. And I want you to know, those of you who continue to support us with donations, you will be able to write them off, but it ain't a 501c3. We are a fellowship. We are a fellowship. We are an ecclesia. We are a gathering. And we have every right to do this, despite what the IRS says. Say, well, Coach, you better check that. No, I ain't checking it out because my fealty's to the Lord. I'm going to obey the Lord. If they come and get me in a black van, then I'll get in the black van. I mean, what am I going to do about it? It gets either way. I want my loyalty to be to the Lord. Okay, I'll shut up for a minute. Somebody,
Coach.
Yes.
Coach, that was a revelation. When it become a revelation, you had to do something with it, and you obeyed the Lord, and now, Coach, you're free. You are free. You're free. I'm free, Coach.
Lord, when I made that, I've been Randy. I've always been free. All I had to do is make the decision.
You're freer. You're freer.
That's right.
Now I'm freer, Coach.
Yes.
The day I decided, I said, when I put money in the offering and the cash, and I said, I don't even want, need to know what I give. I don't even want you to send me a end of the year thing. I'm just giving. I'm not part of that system. I'm out of that. When I made that decision, Coach, I was free. I was free from that.
Okay. So let me move one step further here, Randy, because this is, that thing's still poking me in the back, if you know what I'm talking about. I'm still getting poked. And it said to me, going to be a good Christian American, huh? Going to be a good American citizen, right? That's what you're going to do, Coach? Yeah, yeah. You still going to fund abortion? Huh? You going to still fund abortion, Coach? You still going to fund those public schools where they're teaching kids to be homos? You still going to fund that, Coach? You're going to say you're serving me and pay for that unfruitful works of darkness that you're supposed to have nothing to do with, right? See, folks, if we're smart enough to understand, we have every biblical principle to reject the tyranny of government. Every biblical principle you could ever look for is right in there. Every one of them. They are violating the First Amendment of the Constitution, forcing you to do things against your will. Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion, nor prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And when the IRS comes and says, well, Randy, how much money did you give? You say, well, I ain't telling you because it's none of your business, and that's the free exercise of my faith. Don't we understand? Folks, come on! Can't we see how the Lord has set us free and the enemy's doing everything he can to keep us in bondage? God, Lord, set us free. I don't want to just be free from pornography. I do. I don't want to be just free from evil. I want to be free. I want to be free in every area of my life. I want to be free. I don't want to serve the government. I don't want to bow to Beelzebub. I do not want to bow to Caesar. I'm not going to do it. No matter how much the pastors have told me that we are to obey Caesar, I will obey Caesar until he violates Christ. When he violates Christ, I'm going to obey Christ. I'm not going to obey Caesar. This isn't hard, but it's fearful. I'll shut up. Come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
Wow. the sin of abortion makes us cringe. It makes us sick, you know, because it's man's sin against man.
Boy.
The sin of homosexuality and all of its LGBTQ, whatever, is the greatest sin against God.
Mm.
It's an abomination.
Joseph, we're made in his image.
Yes.
You understand what we do when we do that? You understand what we do when we kill little babies created in his image? We are in a weird sense, just murdering God. Isn't that something? Made in his image, man. We're made in his image. Come on in. I don't know who's next. Clay, come on in.
Yeah, that verse.
Thanks for the book, Clay. Thanks for the book,
by
the
way. Oh, you're welcome, Coach. You're welcome. I'm not sure what verse that is. Y'all have to help me on that. But the one about rendering to Caesar what is Caesar's, when I've heard that, I've got a little bit different take on it. What if Jesus meant render to Caesar what is Caesar's by meaning that God created all things? So what is That's Caesar's?
Nothing belongs to Caesar. That's exactly the point, see? Nothing belongs. It all belongs to God, right? Jesus stood before Pilate. And Pilate said, don't you know I have the power to crucify you or I have the power to set you free? And what did he say? Oh, please set me free. I'm sorry. Please set me free. He said, listen, dude, you got no power over me unless you've been given to you on high. There's the church saying to the state, go pound sand. Why can't we see that? See, we need a we need a revolution, don't we? We need gonna make some of you passive folks upset. We need a concerted effort to once again place Christ on the throne in America. That should be our goal. That's why we should start. Yeah. In fact, they're telling us to separate the two, right? There's a separation between the church and the state. Oh, there is, but the IRS wants to know how we spend our money. I thought there was a separation. Well, Coach, it's a government. We have to obey Romans 13. We are so confused, aren't we? We're so confused.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You can't see the smile on my face, my friend.
I can feel it. But it hasn't, right? Hey, Jack, when they signed me up on this 501c3, this wasn't the marriage I thought. No, that this one, I didn't marry them so they could run past the salt. You understand? And that's what they're doing. The government's running past the salt.
I want to jump in here real quick. That's why we, as Christians, at this point in time, we need to establish dominance wherever we go. I wear my aggressive warrior Christian type gear wherever I go, and walking in without the face mask. If I see a few people there without a face mask, I'm acknowledging that. I'm making them stronger, and I'm belittling the fools that are wearing the mask. So all of that said, establishing dominance wherever we go as Christians. That's, we do that right now.
Bobby, we establish his authority. And his laws as the rule of law. Listen,
amen.
Folks, listen, I got led through this yesterday when I was talking about all the versions of the Bible, right? And then all of a sudden I thought about, my God, they've rewritten the Constitution, the penumbras. They found new laws in the clouds, in the penumbras. They've changed America because they've made new rules they don't have the right to do. Amen. And the church sits around, can't figure out what's going on. We're adulterous. We're adulterous. There's nothing wrong with obeying the government, but not if it forces me to obey the precepts of Christ. That's adultery. And that's why there's no power in the church. That's why.
Yep.
And it causes men. Jesus said, what? Him who the Son set free will be free indeed. So free men, they'll go back and put themselves under the bondage of ungodly government. That's what's happened to us. That's why there's no power.
In order to have a revolution, one must have a revelation. Coach, I'm just telling you, I know you. You just had a spiritual revelation last night.
No, here's the thing, Dale. I've had it. Derek Prince just said it to me. You're going to have to make a decision, man. Yep,
That's the end of the revelation. Now is your choice. God has revealed this to you.
Yep.
Now it's your choice.
Yep. And so my buddy John Barnett says all the time, and when I'm in the van with him driving to D.C., he says, well, Coach, must be a rude awakening before there's a great awakening. Right? I've had the rude awakening. Now that I've had the rude awakening, now I can move on to the great awakening. And I believe that through this obedience to God, greater works than we could ever imagine is going to be done through Past the Salt Ministries. Not building the ministry, not having more numbers, but greater ministry with greater impact, because I'm serving the King of Kings and not Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell and name them. I ain't serving them anymore. I'm not going to do it anymore. Let the chips fall where they may. Right? Hey,
you're feeling free?
I had a revelation. I did. I had a revelation. I made a decision. I'm not playing that game anymore.
Hey, Coach.
Joe.
It's like I said the other day, we need a new Declaration of Independence. We need to draw up new articles of offense against the nation and against the people.
Yeah. Joe, we are going to sit. Folks, listen, I only got a minute. I may take 2 minutes. Do you know this? Do you know that in the election that we're facing right now, do you know that this very clear, bold-faced breaking of the law has been done? You know that, right? The people, the way they counted the votes was illegal. People who were not allowed to vote voted. And votes were counted after the deadline. If we have laws and we don't enforce the laws, and we're not a nation, we're just a banana republic. That's all we are. It's very, very clear. Ballots not in Pennsylvania, ballots not there by midnight on election day are invalid, and they bring a quarter of a million the next day and count them. It's antinomianism. They break the law whenever they want to break them. Hey, here's what I know. I got it off my chest. I appreciate y'all listening. Folks, Please hear me. You got to make the decision now, because these issues are going to become more and more crucial in our own lives with what's coming down. The impact and the pressure and the what they're going to begin to do, and the discrimination against Christians, is going to be something like we have never seen. And we have to make the decision now how we will react when that black vehicle shows up. Got to make it now. Got to make it now. Otherwise, the author of fear is going to turn your heart. We'll let that happen. Hey, thanks for listening to my rant. Sign up. Join us in Washington. We'll have a great time. God bless you. See you tomorrow.